Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Glad to have you guys with us. We are the Valley Outdoors. Don's in here.
I'm here.
Ava's here.
I'm here as well.
And I'm here. I'm Eric, and I'm the host today. And we have got a jam-packed show. We're going to be talking with George Little. He is the main man and one of the main men in the Vexus Boat building. What would you call it?
An organization
or whatever you want to call it. But he is one of the guys behind it. He is a fishing guy. We're talking a little bit about fishing and a little bit about some of the new boats they have in the aluminum side, which I saw at the sports show was pretty cool. But that and more when we return. Hang tight. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world.
Whoa. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's always good to be seen.
Yeah, I am excited about the show today. It's going to be good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Got some good topics today, do you?
George, we're going to be talking with him about fishing, which I just can't stand talking about fishing, I got to tell you. It's just, I hate it.
We've noticed.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't get excited about it at all. And it's just, yeah, it's boring. No, it's going to be cool. And the reason that I wanted to do this, I was down at the Minneapolis Sportsman Show, and I've been meaning to get George on for a while, and our schedules haven't worked out. And one of the new boats, and I'm not trying to sell you guys a boat, but what I'm saying is what's going on with the boats is beyond what I could imagine that they could be. The width of the boat, but this is a bass boat, Don, that has four seats that you sit down in. They're buckets type, two front buckets and two back that you fold up, right? Fold down, fold up seats that are part of the casting platform. So you can actually fish four in this boat.
Bass fishing?
A bass fishing boat or walleye fishing or whatever.
See, my brain says that's
smaller,
a bad idea.
But lakes that aren't going to be great lakes, but you don't need to have a full windshield boat to do it. And it scoots, it utilizes horsepower well, and it's a wide fishing platform and extremely stable. But it was one of those things. So we'll talk about that later, get more detail on it. But they came up with something I think is a home run that nobody else is really doing. So that's going to be cool. Excited about that. One of the things we find now, too, just kind of get into the fishing side of it, talk a little bit about transitioning a fish. So this last week we went out again in our normal Wednesday fishing league that we have in Red Wing, and jig fishing is my deal. I love more than anything. If I don't have to go crankbait or lead core fishing, I don't care to do it for walleye. Well, we went out pitching jigs and I had a blast and did great again this week. So I'm sitting right near the top of the league thing, but that doesn't really matter. I have a blast doing it. Just fun to really, after just kind of backing down a couple of years with it from the tournament side, it was just elevated beyond belief as far as that goes. And now really enjoying it and playing with that side of it. And you notice that obviously the fish are moving and migrating. The spawn is finishing. We're getting more females now that they're all spawned out. Last week we had a mixed 50-50 split on some of the bigger fish, like a 27-incher I caught. That was not spawned out. You know, obviously we let them all go. But nonetheless, when you start looking at the transitions that happen in a river system, same thing with lakes, where do the fish go? Where do they come after, you know, this kind of thing. And in the river, they spawn, and then they start migrating back down the river into their holding areas as they move down and rest and then start to get back with the we call it put the food bag on or the feed bag. And that's what's happening right now, the transition point's happening. So finding these fish that are recovering and or starting to turn the feed bag on is kind of what's happening. So you need to really look at what is the best methodology to catch these fish. A lot of times you'll find dragging live bait is going to be, and I mean very, very, very slowly, on these current seams, and that's what we ended up doing. And it was kind of funny. We were fishing one of the spots, and a friend of mine happened to be in the area filming a TV show. You may have heard of Jason Mitchell before.
Oh, yeah.
So we're fishing this spot, and one of the local guys is showing him around. And I'm kind of laughing because I know the local guy, and of course I know Jason. And I'm in the front of the boat. They don't recognize me because I'm not in a regular boat. I'm with a friend of mine, Sean. He's the president of the Red Wing Fishing League. And I'm in the boat, but I'm in the front of the boat pitching jigs, and I get one, and I nice fish, and then I get another one, and nice fish. And they're like, "You mind if we come through?" And I said, "Well, it's kind of tight, but..." And then they moved through, didn't get one, and they caught another one right behind them. Oh, it was one of those...
It's so rewarding when you're in that boat.
You have no idea. It was so awesome. And Sean looks at me, and the other guy says, "You're good with leaving now, aren't you?" And I said, "I'm perfectly fine."
I was going to ask you, you know, from 1 week to the next, how many fish did you find in similar spots or the same spot from 1 week to the next, or are they moving down?
They're moving down. Okay. We tried the spot. We caught fish last week, and those fish were already not moving down through that spot, and right. We worked it quite hard, same time frame, because timing in a river is the other thing. If you've ever done any fishing, you'll notice you can get hung up on a spot fishing because you get a 15-incher. Oh, we got a 15-incher. We got to stay another hour. No. How much time do you have to spend fishing is limited. What you need to do is establish your time frames. If you're not catching fish and you know you've worked the spot properly, move. Force yourself to move. The only way you can cover spots and find fish, because fish will be biting somewhere in the body of water. You just need to get to that spot. Move through what we call it a milk run.
That's how we call it, run and gun.
Yeah, but I like to say milk run, because run and gun means you're popping in and out of spots and not necessarily giving it, but painting the picture, milk run meaning you're working the spot, you're giving it the right of time, you're getting what you can out of that spot, you move on to the next one, but you're not getting stuck. So don't get stuck, one.
Well, two, you're looking for active fish is what you're looking for.
Yep. Two, don't get hung up saying they're going to bite this bait. They always do. Change it up. I went to a jig and a crawler, believe it or not, this time of year, and that's what I got my fish on. So be not afraid to change up, because the lazy ones are if you're a lazy fisherman, you're the one that's going to be caught on the outside wishing you were catching fish. Don't be afraid to try hair jigs. Don't be afraid to try the orange and yellow jig with the crawler on it. Play that game. So, well, tell you what, we're going to be coming right back with George Little, talking a little bit about Vexus Boats, and it's going to be a cool conversation. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Thanks for hanging in there with us, everybody. I'd like to have you guys check us out as well. Where, Donald?
On thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Thevalleyoutdoors.com. And Ava, where else are we going to be?
Also Facebook.
Facebook, absolutely. Like us, please. And, of course, check us out. The Valley Outdoors has got the best directory to find out what's going across the United States. No matter where you're at, you can punch up the state, and it'll tell you what is happening in the world of the DNR and different events and seasons. And if you're looking to get an early buck tag or whatever that might be, you can find it out right there. Speaking of finding out anything I need to know about boats and bass fishing and multi-species fishing and designs, this is the guy to do it. I've known him for many, many years. He's a good friend and one of the main men over at Vexus Boats. George Little, good to have you with us.
Hello, Eric. How are you doing, man?
Doing fantastic. And, of course, we are very happy to have you guys on as a sponsor of the show this year. It's great. The intros, Don did a great job of getting that produced, so we're always excited about to hear this big voice guy come on there. Not me, some other
very exciting stuff.
So we appreciate that. You know, and the fun part is that knowing you for so many years, obviously we've been a previous company that we worked together on for many, many years, some 20 years, and you jumped to Vexus, and I started looking at the designs that you had within the bass side before you guys had the multi-species boats. And the concepts that you guys had on the bass side were crazy. And I'm like, this is pretty cool. And then, of course, you see the first one comes out. I got that first DVX20, and guess what? We're up at Lake of the Woods. That's where we were, Lake of the Woods. And we're like, hey, we got some time to go fishing. Let's go fishing. And I said, I know a spot that's going to be really good. And George is like, well, how far is it? I said, it's all the way. So, and
way to pinpoint it.
Well, and it was kind of cool, George. If you have to agree, when everybody headed out, it was a boat dealership. It was like an owner's event, right? Basically, was what it was called, right?
I think. Yeah, I would say that. Yes.
Yeah. So, one of the dealers in Minnesota had it, Lacan's Marine. They had boat owner's deal, and so we're up there, and everybody had headed out, and George and I jump in the boat, and we're going fishing. So we're driving, and we're driving past everybody and driving past more people and driving past more people and driving past more people. And I think you're probably wondering, is this really going to be worth it? or should I say, this better be worth it?
where did you head out of?
We're out of Sportsman's.
Oh, you're heading out in the big water.
Yeah. So we headed out of the river.
Yeah, that was.
And all the way up past Kings, all the way up past Garden. So if you... I bet it was what, George? What do you think? 35 miles, probably?
Oh, it's all of that.
It probably was.
Close to it.
It wasn't too bumpy, so that was a good thing. I will say, though, that I think that's the first time I saw what the blockout panel underneath the walk-through windshield is for. I was happy with just the walk-through windshield and staying a little bit warmer, but... Yeah, that really was something I'll never forget.
No, it was a good deal. And the funny part was George has coined the phrase, "It knocks the waves out of water." It's pretty cool. The boat does, and it's pretty awesome. So we get up to the spot, and it really is a spot on a spot. It's one sunken, or it's a rock pile, and you're facing one part of the northerly edge of this rock pile. And we pull out the live bait, and we start dragging. And, of course, I mean, it wasn't long, and we were catching fish. And then George is like, well, I'm gonna start pitching jigs. And then we start catching smallmouth. I mean, it was one of those days you don't forget, George. I have to tell you, because we came in with a limit, and we didn't have, 2 hours to fish, I think? 2.5?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of time. But the day got very, very nice. We were catching fish, and the ride home was... a lot more fun than the ride going.
Yeah, it was. And, it had warmed up a little bit. I think the wind died down. It was a little bit at our back.
Yeah,
but,
the wind died
And it really what it comes down to, from my standpoint, George, is when you're able to go fishing and have all of that work that you've done, that I do within the industry itself, it translates to the work you put into the boats, the work you put into fishability, the work you put into all those different things, the research. It pays off. And you get to experience it, and that's the fun part about spending time in a boat with somebody. It's, you know, that's the fun part. We got the Minnesota Opener coming up next weekend. You know, it brings back good memories and what you guys really put into the boats that makes a difference, and it's because you are really a fisherman. I mean, you've been a fisherman. Your dad was big into fishing, and watching you fish the bass tournaments with all the guys at Ranger, or your past Ranger, but now Vexus.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I mean, the level of involvement.
Well, it's, I want to say one thing straight up. I don't design boats. We've got the smartest man in the marine business, freshwater marine business, Randy Hopper. He's been designing Ranger boats for well over 50 years, and he's designed every one of them that we put out in the Vexus plant. The guy is just brilliant.
Well, and important too, though, George, you guys provide input. You all provide the input that makes a difference for some of those key refinements, the hull and that kind of thing. Obviously, that's big, Randy. That's a big thing, and we'll get to the next level what he developed. But that's what really brought me to look at that boat and convinced a lot of people, because a lot of people are running 21 and 22 foot boats, and they got in the 20 foot Vexus, and the boat drives and rides like a 21 or 22 foot boat, and you're in a 20 foot boat. Crazy.
Yeah, and what you said there is we listen, right? And that's not really changed. I mean, if you don't listen to your customer, that's probably not a good place to start, right?
You are correct.
But really, 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 really take input. And Eric, you've given a lot of that over the years. So Randy's the blend of taking, you know, on water experience from a multitude of people, bass, crappie, and walleye, of course.
And muskie too.
He's very good at that. And muskie, you bet.
No, and that's a big part of what goes on, and it kind of leads me into this, because when I saw you down at the Minneapolis Sportsman Show, stopped in and saw this brand new boat. It blew my doors off. I mean, it literally said, I could ride that boat on the river all day long. That's the ultimate fishing rig. That is cool. Fill us in what this thing is.
Well, if you're talking about our new 1985 and 2085,
correct.
They are brand new. They really came out 5 months ago. And didn't really get them out to the public for a little bit after that. But the 1985 is aluminum boat, and it's 19 feet 10 inches. The width of the boat is 95 inches, and it goes all the way up to the foot pedal in the front of the boat. The width of the boat is just crazy good. Lots and lots of space. They perform amazing with the high performance hull. The pad stepped hull makes the boat handle better, makes it easier to adjust the attitude of the boat, meaning you can pick the nose up or put the nose down very, very easily because of that hull.
I think what's important too there, George, from my perspective, when you're able to do that, that really comes down to if it gets bumpy out, you can flatten the ride. And with a 20-foot boat, that hull length lets you bridge the waves. You don't get that, oh, I lost a filling in my tooth and I'm now 5 inches shorter than I was. That doesn't happen. And it really gives you the ability to drive that boat in a whole different manner and adjust it to meet the need that you have. And of course, now you have four seats in it. That's crazy. Yeah. That's as cool as it gets.
So, so we put jump seats in the boat along with a lot of fiberglass parts like we do every Vexus aluminum boat. But we actually, the whole section of the rear of the boat is where the two jump seats are. Everything's molded together. The live well is also in that same – the rear large live well is in that same configuration, the fiberglass part.
Right.
So by doing that, you know, the consoles on the boat, there's lots of pieces visual in the boat that are glass and really gives the appearance, the shape of a fiberglass boat.
Well,
so you get in it, it rides like a fiberglass boat, and stand next to it, it looks like one. It's quite a deal.
Well, when I first did some testing back with the old Evinrude company I was with in a former life, we had the 115 on an AVX, and there was three of us in the boat, and it was Lake Norman, I believe it was, and we were doing some video and commercials. And it got bumpy. And I could not believe it. The 115 HO pushed that boat almost 50 miles an hour with three of us. And as you said, you can adjust the attitude of it. So we just tipped the engine down a little bit more, and it split the waves and drove great. The guys from Boat Test were just blown away. They're like, this is crazy. I said, I know. This is the first time I've driven this thing in rough water. And, you know, everything's relative. It's not five-footers. But nonetheless, it was a bumpy enough ride where you normally would have to be worried about how hard you're hitting. So that's what's cool. But again, fishability is the other piece of it. So you said the width is extremely wide. I know in the DVS series, the fiberglass multi-species series, the width is great. We can fish two people up front, which oftentimes is the way you want to fish a spot. If you're pitching jigs up front, you're trying to get to the max potential of that particular, whatever it is, cup or corner or main lake point. And I think that is something that has carried over, and it really has been an emphasis to give the most fishable space instead of being that narrow hull. Pretty cool. What brought about that design? Of course, obviously, you call it the fork design of the hull and the other ones, but what brought about that concept? What was the idea or basis behind that?
Well, I mean, I wish we could say that we invented that style of boat. We haven't, but we certainly have done the Vexus version, and it's getting lots of great feedback. The design of the hull is, as you asked, it has a pretty steep dead rise from the front all the way to the back, and it's easy. Quickly, you can figure out that, hey, this thing's different.
Yep.
And another thing that's different about it is that there's no hollow spots in the boat. Everything is completely full of location. And people don't understand what that does for the ride of a boat. It's amazing. It deadens the sound. It's kind of as simple as that. It deadens the sound and gives you a feel of it's solid one piece. There's nothing rattling. There's nothing. You don't hear a tin can effect because there's no hollow spots.
Well, it's funny. It's funny, George, because in those situations, as you and I both have been in multiple different boats in our lives, in the rough water, when you hear that hollow sound, it's not a confident sound, and you suddenly take a back and you're thinking, well, I think I better tone this down a bit, and is there something funky that came loose, or is that supposed to be the echo chamber that's like a Bose speaker going on underneath underneath my feet? What's happening? That's true. that foaming in, it really gives that deadened sound, but it gives you that feeling of solid, especially in those bigger waves.
Yeah, we use the closed cell foam as a construction method, just not as a flotation. It's absolutely one of the keys to the designs that we have and why people like them so well. It's, there's a lot that goes into it. Every Vexus boat has really been thought through. I can say that absolutely with 100% certainty. Everything has been thought through multiple times before we even try it. So, and I believe it shows, Eric. I believe that shows in the boat.
There's no question. And you brought up the dashboard. The big thing for me is there's two big things. People get frustrated with, number one thing is a glove compartment that never stays together. That's, believe it or not, you know what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's brought up all the time. And then the pieces and parts that attach to the dash, there's no plastic. It's metal. It's for the most part, everything is there. There may be a small cover for something that's a stock piece, but the trim level is metal, and it's durable. It's not something that's plastic and going to crack at some point. And it's one of those things that makes a big difference with the whole lineup, no matter where you're at.
Yeah. And you know, the boat is fiberglass, aluminum, and stainless. That's it. Now we can't get rid of all the plastic in the wire room, to say, but if you're, you know, in the boat and visually looking at it, you're not going to find it.
Well, not only.
And it makes a big difference because how long that boat's going to last.
Yes.
By putting those parts
and components.
In it,
yeah.
The components are just going to last longer.
Well, you sit in that boat, and this is an aluminum, the boat you're talking about, the 1985. You sit in that boat or any of the other boats, the AVX series. You don't know that you're in an aluminum boat. You would not know it, which is the coolest part about it. It looks like a glass boat from the gunnels to the fit and finish to everything else. And then the funny part is it feels like a glass boat when you're riding in those water conditions. It can be both. How much better does it get? And speaking of which, the first video that you and I did together was amazing. We were on Mille Lac. He said, here, let's take the 22-footer out and let's go run it. And there were 5-footers, Don. We were running 5-footers in the southeast end of the lake. And I said, okay, 400 on the back. Let's go eat it up. And I did everything I could to try and stuff that nose into the wakes, and I couldn't do it. And there's a video, there's a picture on the website of George and I. George is absolutely grinning because I'm laughing so hard I can't stop laughing. We're just pounding these waves, and it's just predictable and making things happen. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. It was super cool. And what's super cool, George, believe it or not, we just burned through every bit of our time.
Well, we should do it again.
Yes, we will do it again, George. I certainly appreciate it. We're going to talk a little bit of bass fishing next time. You get out there and get some bass fishing under your belt. Good luck on the opener wherever you're going to go. We certainly appreciate you coming on and joining us in the Valley Outdoors. And, of course, we're appreciative of the Vexus boats. So thanks, George. Appreciate it. And that wraps it up for us and for Don. For Ava and myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.